today on Real Radio.
Deuteronomy 28, he says, now, if you don't follow me, this is what will happen. And you take a look at that, because it's good regarding your nation, no matter whatever nation you're living in or you're from. And it's certainly good to know regarding your family or your life. Follow God, be blessed. Listen, offend God and not be blessed. Choose.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. The prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. Now, God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future. The best example, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 1 and part 2 of this message from Isaiah chapter 20, we saw how Isaiah became a walking, living, and breathing parable to reveal God's plan for the future. Isaiah even walked naked and barefoot among his people to warn them of what will happen if they don't turn from their sin. We also learned about the nature of sin and how to fight against it. Now in part 3 of chapter 20, we'll continue the attack on sin and what it's doing in our lives. So today, Pastor Jack reminds us that the number one temptation of Satan is to draw us away from God. He does it by using our own desires against us. Satan knows that our desires can eventually give birth to sin, but when we walk in the light as Jesus is the light, his love and forgiveness cleanses us from all of our sin. And now in his lesson called Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
True events, actual historical figures, real places, and severe judgment. Why? Because of sin. Isaiah 20, verse 1 says, in the year that Tartan came to Ashdod, when Sargon was the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it. And at the same time, the Lord spoke by Isaiah, the son of Amos, saying, so he speaks this to Isaiah, go and remove the sackcloth from your body. That is Isaiah, that's his commissioning by God. And take your sandals off your feet. And Isaiah did so, walking naked and barefoot, as a sign, by the way. He is a walking, living, breathing signpost to the nation. Why? Judah has made ungodly alliances with Ethiopia and with Egypt to protect them, but that's not going to work. Verse 3, then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia. Remember, the message is to Judah, but Egypt and Ethiopia are the examples. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks exposed or uncovered to their shame, to the shame of Egypt. Then they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and Egypt, their glory. And the inhabitant of this territory will say in that day, surely such is our expectation. Where can we flee for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria? And here it is. How shall we escape? Judah had trusted in earthly alliances and in carnal protection. And God says, you are not to turn to nations to protect you. I'm the God of Israel. I'm the God of Jacob. You are to consult me for your protection. Later on, write it in your notes if you would for homework. Go look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And read it carefully. For any nation, we happen to be sitting right now in the United States, but you ought to read it. Because God warns Israel. First of all, he encourages Israel. Follow me, this is what will happen to you. Boy, you ought to read it, it's fantastic. And then halfway through the chapter of Deuteronomy 28, he says, now if you don't follow me, this is what will happen. And you take a look at that. Because it's good regarding your nation, no matter whatever nation you're living in or you're from. And it's certainly good to know regarding your family or your life. Follow God, be blessed. Listen, offend God and not be blessed. Choose. So as we look at this, we've been learning something about disarming sin in our lives. We saw, first of all, that there's the origin of sin. And I don't want to belabor that, but we saw that the origin of sin was quite interesting because it all began before it ever happened on earth. It began with Satan, Lucifer, in the day that he rebelled against God. Sin's first origination was with Lucifer, Satan. Not earth, but in the spiritual realm. He propagated, he spread that rebellion when he visited the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had been created perfect, yet with the ability of choice. God created Adam and Eve with the ability to choose. That's how you can have a real relationship and worship, by you and I being able to choose. You can't have worship, you can't have even salvation, you can't have heaven and hell, you can't have choice without God implementing within us a free moral agency. We have that character given to us by God. And the Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve were tempted, they gave in to the temptation, thus sin. Remember, church, you know this, right? Temptation is not a sin. When you yield to the temptation, that's where the sin is manifested. So Satan came tempting. Imagine, listen, Eve could have said, get out of here. She had that free moral agency to exercise, but she exercised that free moral agency for wrong, for sin. And the moment that the temptation was manifested by her literally doing a certain thing, she thought, she weighed the decision, and then, having made the decision, she went and ate of the fruit. Eating of the fruit was the physical manifestation of a sin that was then launched in that moment in her mind. Are you with me? In her heart. That's how it is for us, the origin of sin. And you think of this for a moment, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, I'm going to read it carefully, slowly, follow along with me. Listen how the Lord is revealing to us how Satan moves. Has God said, have you ever heard that in your life? Just go like this, please, okay? You have. This is the way he rolls. Satan says to us, has God said? That's called doubt. He sows the seeds of doubt. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Number one, in that portion of scripture regarding the origin of sin, he's really saying to her, Eve, are you sure you know what you're talking about? Are you sure you know? Listen, has that whisper ever come to your mind? Are you sure you're a believer? How do you know you're a believer? There's far many people way better than you. You ever heard that before? Of course you have. Hath God said? Doubt. Sowing seeds of doubt. So subtle. You know, it's amazing. I think as you grow older with Jesus, I think the enemy's tactics change. Because when you're a young believer, Satan seems to almost yell at you, and it's super obvious. He kind of almost shows up in red underwear with a pitchfork. It's kind of almost obvious. But as you age with Jesus, he dresses different. He sounds different. He sounds much more like us. And he says things much more cunning. And he'll say things to you like that. Are you sure you know what you believe? How do you know? He sows seeds of doubt. Hath God said? In the origin of sin, he also does this. Notice in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5, that he's a false prophet. He's a false teacher. Sowing seeds of deception. you shall not surely die. That's false doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. God said, Eve, Adam, the moment you disobey, you're going to die in that very day. Spiritual death. Satan counters and says, you're not going to die. That's not true. False doctrine. Clever. Third thing, Satan attacks the character of God. Notice what he says. He makes Eve to believe that maybe there is a flaw in God's character, that there's a jealousy with God, that there's an insecurity with God. God knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. The implication is this. God knows the day that you eat of it, you'll be like him, and he doesn't want competition. He knows he's withholding from you, Eve, because you'll be like him. You hear that? Cunning, craftiness. He also suggests that God is limited. You'll know good and evil. See, this God that you are worshiping, Eve, he doesn't want you to know good and evil. I, on the other hand, I'll help you. The origin of sin. To defeat sin in our lives, and that's what we're looking at in these weeks of this study, is to understand what the Word of God says for our benefit, for our strength. We can disarm the power of sin in our lives. That's where we left off. Now, number two, you guys, is the nature of sin. The nature of sin, what do we learn from that, and how do we combat this? James chapter 1, verse 14 says, but each one of us, each one is tempted when, watch this, when he is, number one, drawn away by his own desires. Church, mark that down. You and I are constantly being bombarded with temptations, and the number one intent by Satan to destroy your life is to draw you away by your own desires. Here's the thing that we all must wake up and face, and the more we face this, the better off we'll be in obtaining victory, is that you and I have desires. Don't look at me. I'm not even going to look at you. I'm going to cover my eyes. You're going to give me this little innocent look that you have no such thing as desire. Every one of us battle with desires. I don't need to care, and I don't want to know what kind of desires they are. Everyone's different. Nonetheless, there are desires that are rigged to our flesh that attempt to pull us away from God. It never stops. So the Bible warns us in James chapter 1, verse 14, watch out. The temptation is designed to draw us away, and it uses our desires. You think about the simple fact of all that. What is it? Tell me, somebody give me something you don't like. What is it you don't like? Come on. Broccoli. I had it tonight. I love it. You don't like broccoli? I like it. I'm tempted by broccoli. I love it. You're not tempted by broccoli. Broccoli's not his thing. I could eat too much. I've eaten so much broccoli before, I've made myself sick to my stomach. I love it. The desire of broccoli could pull me away. But he's not tempted by broccoli. But what is your thing? Listen, whatever that thing is, the enemy will use it. So number one, wake up to the realization there are things in my life that I need to actually maybe perhaps write down on a piece of paper, facing it. We'll see in a moment. Facing it honestly. I am tempted by, and pick three, and write down the first big top three in your life. You got to do it. I'm asking you to do it. Now, I mean, you have to do it right now, but don't forget, when you go home, write them down. Post them. Look at them. They are your enemies. They are things that need to be disarmed in your life. James chapter 1, put it back up, guys, on the screen. James chapter 1, verse 14. Our own desires, we're enticed by them. Verse 15 says, then when desire is conceived, that is, the desire is now entertained in the mind. Ooh, that's the ooh part. Ooh, it's all in here yet. It gives birth to sin. That means what? That I'm going to do it. I am going to eat the broccoli. You haven't eaten the broccoli yet, but you're going to eat the broccoli. You get in the car and you go to the store and you're going to buy broccoli. All along the way, you are sinning as you go because it's all been now conceived. It's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, if you look at a woman or a man and you lust after them in your heart, you're already guilty of it because God sees your heart. What happens is that the physical manifestation of the sin, that winds up bringing destruction both in your life and beyond, lives of those around you and others. But we have to be very wise. We have to identify these things. And notice, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Disarming the power of sin. How do we do that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. This is where we left off last time, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, with God, we're Christians, we walk with God, we have fellowship with God, and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that key? Isn't that true? Have you noticed that when you backslide, you don't want to be around Christians? Have you noticed that? Where's all the backsliders tonight? They're not here. Where are they? They're at places they ought not to be. They're backslidden. And I said this last time together, but I want to say it again. Christians, truly, truly born again, saved Christians, when they're backslidden, they're so funny. I mean, I don't mean to make light of it. I shouldn't say funny. It's tragic. But they think nobody can tell that they're backslidden Christians. They think they blend in. They're at Joe's Bar and Grill laughing it up. They got the beer there. They got somebody in their arms they ought not to be having. And they're trying to put it on. Hey, man, it's all awesome, man. And it's like, what's wrong with you? Who are you? They don't look right. Do you remember when David, for fear of his life, went into the camp of the enemy and he was there and he was serving the pagan king and he feigned insanity and he was spit. It said that David spit up saliva and stuff and put it on his beard so he'd look nuts. Do you remember that? King David, it was the lowest point, one of the lowest points in David's life. Our great hero is going, he's acting all, and the king goes, this is David? The guy's gone nuts. He's no harm to us. And it's like, oh, David, the mighty warrior of God, he's just really mad. He was backslidden. After David had sinned with Bathsheba, and he's walking around the palace, backslidden. And the prophet comes and says, you're the man, backslidden. When a Christian's backslidden, they're not happy. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're backslidden, you're miserable. You're hurting. It's a rough. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the life of the backslider is hard. Isn't it hard? See, Satan lies to us and says obedience to God is hard. Obedience to God is liberty. Obedience to God is freedom. In 1 John, he goes on in there in chapter 1, and it says there that, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Of course we're sinners. If we say that we're not, the truth of God is not in us. But verse 9 says, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Thank you, Jesus. Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in light of that, listen, how do we disarm the power of sin and the nature of sin? Because you and I, Christian, listen, for that matter, Christian here or non-Christian here, all of us have the nature of sin within us. We got that from mom and dad, from Adam and Eve. It was passed on to us, which is quite remarkable because, again, Adam and Eve, they were made in perfection. They were perfect. Perfect. But they exercised their choice and sinned against God. And the moment that happened, you and I are very different from Adam and Eve because you and I were born with a sin nature. Adam and Eve were not created with a sin nature. Isn't that interesting? They chose to disobey. Now look, we've been infected. We have the sin nature. So let's look at three things. Steps that we can take to attack sin. Number one, be honest. Can you write this down? Be honest. Be honest with yourself by identifying the sin. How do I get victory? Stop hiding the sin that's in my life. Stop. That's where I begin. Face it straight up. Whatever it might be that God is speaking to you about, face it. Don't bury it. Don't hide it. Be honest before God. There can never be victory if we try to hide it. We've got to confront it. God knows what's up. He already knows the answer. Let's tell him. Let's just show him. We have a tendency sometimes to overlook or to dress up or to excuse or to somehow explain away what God is telling us, and we ought not to do that. Be honest. This is the first step to getting a tremendous victory in your life in whatever area it might be, is God, here's the deal. I have justified this over and over again. I'm going to be honest. That's how you begin to loosen the grip and disarm the power of sin. Be honest about it. Someone has said regarding this that in this honesty to confess that sin, we know that from 1 John. What about this? Have you found this to be true? If not, I'm going to ask you to do this experiment at home. Have you noticed that, of course, you can pray in any type of posture, right? You can pray. Even Jesus prayed with his head up at times. He prayed with his eyes open. He prayed with his head bowed. He prayed with his eyes closed. You know, there's no set rule. I know we traditionally say, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray. That's just tradition. I'm sure you pray driving down the freeways of Los Angeles. Listen, here's the thing. You pray. But have you noticed that when you go to prayer and you actually get on your knees and pray, did you know there's something that happens? You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to get too goofy on this, but it actually does something. You feel somewhat vulnerable like this. And when you pray, I'm going to ask you to do this. When you go to be honest with God to pray regarding sin, to get victory over it, say it out loud to him. Make sure nobody else is around. But just say, Lord, I am confessing this sin and I'm asking you, Jesus, to take this thing from me. I'm telling you, Lord, that this is what it is. It is broccoli. You tell him. Let it come from your mouth. Let your ears hear it. There's something about it. It's almost like a covenant type of thing. It's almost like the exchange of a vow. Say it to him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today, and don't forget that sin leaves a path of destruction. But God's grace can lead you through it. Disarming the Power of Sin, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, July's Book of the Month is now available for you. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 by W. Philip Keller. Psalm 23 is one of the most familiar passages in the book of Psalms, and in the Bible for that matter. And W. Philip Keller brings these words of truth and comfort to light through his own experience as a keeper of sheep. Keller also reminds us of our hope and meaning through the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether you're laying down in green pastures or walking through the valley of the shadows, well, we're assured that the Lord will lovingly guide, carry, and protect us. Best of all, we can depend on His goodness and mercy all the days of our lives. Again, July's Book of the Month, it's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23 by W. Philip Keller. It's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.